Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now we're in the final week of negotiations for the New York State budget that determines the fate of so many of the issues we've been covering on the show, revenue and expenses like tax cuts and funding for universal pre-K, also public financing for elections, support for charter schools, the State Dream Act, tuition assistance regardless of your immigration status, and homelessness prevention. So far this week, we've heard Brooklyn Assemblyman Kareem Kamara, chair of the Black, Puerto Rican, Hispanic, and Asian Legislative Caucus in the Assembly, and from the Senate Democratic Caucus leader, Andrea Stewart-Cousins. Today, I'm joined by Senator Diane Savino, who represents the North Shore of Staten Island and parts of Brooklyn. She's one of the members of the breakaway Independent Democratic Conference, who formed a coalition with the Senate Republicans. Welcome back to WNYC, Senator Savino. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good. Just by way of background, your breakaway coalition resulted in the addition of another man in the current backroom negotiations, Senate co-leader Jeff Klein, your ally in the Independent Democrats, along with the usual three, Republican Senate leader Dean Skelos, Democratic Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, and the governor. Are you being kept up to date on the negotiations by Senator Klein?
Absolutely.
So how close are we to a deal?
Well, last night, I've been chairing the Subcommittee on Human Services. So last night, we actually closed down that section of the budget. We had reached agreement with the Assembly and the governor on a whole host of issues, largely restoration of a lot of the social service programs that the governor had zeroed out in the beginning of the year, things like runaway homeless youth and settlement houses and nurse family partnership programs, also facilitated enrollment child care projects, and actually expanding where this year, we're going to be able to finally do something about increasing the number of child care slots so we can reach more working women. So we were very successful on that. We also finally got the state to agree to support the city, or actually the other way around. The city of New York, with a new mayor, finally came forward and said that they would support a proposal that has been put forward in the Senate and the Assembly for years that would be to cap the percentage of rent that clients of the New York City's HIV and AIDS program, the HASA program, paid towards their rent. And the city agreed to support it this year. The governor also supported it. So that's another, you know, major progressive victory that will be coming out of this budget. There's a lot of good stuff in this budget. I know a lot of the things that people have been focusing on are what the media focuses on, which, of course, is, you know, the fight between the two big guys, you know, who's gonna win the fight on UPK. I think what's important to note, though, Brian, is that for the first time in, you know, since UPK was originally enacted in New York State, which was 1998, we have, you know, state leaders who are talking about the importance of investing in universal pre-K with a steady funding stream and clear standards so that we have quality programs all across the state.
And according to a lot of the reporting at this point, UPK or universal pre-K does have the funding that Mayor de Blasio will accept, but that a sticking point regarding education is charter schools and just how much the state will insert itself into charter school co-locations. What can you tell us about that?
Well, there does appear to be an agreement on the horizon on that that will be satisfactory, I think, to everyone. Remember, I think, you know, the rhetoric on, or I should say the public battle between public and private schools is one that's always kind of perplexed me. You know, charter schools have a role in our education system the same way as Catholic schools and yeshivas do and private schools do. When charter schools were originally enacted, also in 1998, I guess something was happening that year, it allowed for the creation of 200 charter schools statewide. We still only have 183 charter schools in New York State, so they haven't led to this tremendous proliferation of charter schools. It's very hard to open a charter school, and rightfully so. You know, we shouldn't just be granting charters to anybody who comes along. And one of the challenges that charter schools have faced is they don't get what they call building aid, which means they don't have as much money to pay for rent in places, and that's what has led to this very contentious co-location issue. And that is something that drives everybody crazy. Parents of charter school children, parents of public school children, communities, and that's something that I'm hoping that Mayor de Blasio is now going to correct.
So
he kind of exacerbated it last week, But what's funny about that whole situation, Brian, is so much focus was put on the fact that he disapproved three co-locations. They all happened to be Eva Moskowitz's, but he also approved five of her co-locations, as well as another 20-some-odd co-locations around the city.
Correct. So given that he is not being ungenerous to charter schools in general, and he came on this show on Monday to try to correct that impression as well by laying out some of those same numbers, is it the state's place? And do you think it will wind up as the state's place in this law that gets passed for the state to meddle in a mayor's ability to make independent judgments based on the best interests of the children in both schools, the charter school and the regular school that would be the co-location site,
that
would tie the mayor's hands at all in state legislation that you would vote for?
But that's a very different question, because I think you have to remember, first and foremost, we are all municipalities are what they call creatures of the state. There are no independent, totally independent municipalities, even the city of New York. And in fact, in the current education law that created the concept of mayoral control, the city of New York still does not have complete control of the Department of Education. The DOE is a creature of the legislature. So there's already oversight that's by the state of New York on municipalities, and there's oversight by the legislature and the governor on New York City's education policies. What I'm hoping does come out of this, though, is that more reasonable, there's a more reasonable approach to how do we provide a quality education to every child in the city of New York, whether they go to a public school, a private school, a charter school, or a parochial school.
Let me get back to another issue that you raised at the beginning, rent subsidies for the homeless for next year. City Council voted 50-0 on a resolution yesterday calling for the state to allow potentially state funds to be used next year. And it looks like a corrective to the current draft of the budget is going through, you said, that would open the door for that in individual cases. And I guess a lot of the issue revolves around the city's desire to offer rent subsidies to families in which at least one member works full-time. The governor has said that request from the mayor to change the language came too late. Do you have anything to say about the issue? A lot of people would be surprised to find out that if you have a member of the family working full-time, that you would be homeless.
Well, I think a lot of people would be surprised to find out that if you looked at the New York City shelter system, we have 52,000 families there, a significant number of them are working. Unfortunately, they're underemployed, and they're not able to make enough money to cover their expenses and cover rent. Rent in New York City is incredibly high. We all know that, unless you're prepared to travel, you know, to the further reaches of the city, and that then puts you in a, you know, in a disadvantage because our business center still tends to be in Manhattan. But I just want to clarify something. There are two different homeless programs, and they're not. There's a program that has been proposed by member Senator Tom Duane. When Senator Duane was in the Senate, he carried a piece of legislation that would cap the rent at no more than 30% of your income for clients of this New York City Human Resource Administration's HASA program. They are people who are not just HIV positive, they have AIDS. And as a result of that, they have, you know, a whole host of concerns, not just their health concerns, but their income is relatively low, and their rent outstripped their income. So this program and this agreement will cap a portion of their income and their rent. They won't have to pay more than 30% of their income towards rent. That's a separate issue. On the homeless policy that, you're right, the city came up and said, we need you to correct this language in the state budget that prohibits us from creating a program. Didn't make any sense. The city needs to create programs to deal with their rising homeless population. And the Senate agreed with it, and the Assembly agreed with it, and lo and behold, the governor's office seemed to take a different position on it. I believe they've worked that out. Both houses were clear in our request to the executive that this didn't make any sense. The city's not asking for money. They're asking for the ability to use the money that we send them in a way that makes sense for them. And so I believe that will work itself out today.
State Senator Diane Savino of Staten Island with us as we talk about the many issues that are all wrapped up in the state budget endgame with the deadline of Monday. You're a big proponent of medical marijuana.
Oh, yes, I am.
Will that be part of the budget deal?
No, I don't believe so. I know the Assembly put their version of the bill in the budget, but you know, it's really not a budgetary issue, and it's so important that I believe it's something that, you know, we're going to take up relatively soon after the budget, but it needs to be considered, you know, in its entirety and not be, you know, chopped up in an effort to get to fit it into the budget. We are on the verge of becoming the 21st state to adopt a medical marijuana statute that's going to provide real relief to patients who are suffering from, you know, a whole host of conditions, you know, anything from, you know, chronic epilepsy and terminal cancer and the effects of chemotherapy and radiation to things like, you know, HIV and AIDS and Parkinson's and multiple sclerosis.
And Governor Cuomo came around on it this year. So
yes,
do you think there will be a bill by the time the session ends at the end of June?
It will be done. But we're proposing something that is far more far better than what the governor has proposed. The governor, you know, you're right, he came around on the idea of medical marijuana, and he really didn't think that the legislature would be able to get it done, so he proposed something within his authority based upon a law that was passed in 1980. Unfortunately, that law was written long before the proliferation of medical marijuana states, where we now know what works and what doesn't work, and where we have a very aggressive federal government and the way they approach these states. So what was originally done in 1980 would not work under the current regulations. So we need a strong piece of legislation that acknowledges the current trends in medical marijuana, incorporates the federal regulations, or I say the recommendations, to make sure we don't run afoul of federal regulations. And that is what we're working on right now.
You're a member of the Independent Democrats, the few who broke away from the larger Democratic caucus in the state Senate and joined with the Republicans to wind up with co-leadership involving the Republican leader, Dean Skelos, and the leader of U4, Jeff Klein.
Mm-hmm. So, five now,
including and this gets involved or has implications for the DREAM Act, another thing in the budget negotiations right now, tuition assistance for anyone based on need in higher education without regard to their immigration status. So that's really for young people who were brought here illegally by their parents but are now going to college. Senator Klein was criticized for putting it up for a vote without much notice, and so it got defeated in the Senate. Is that going to be added to the budget?
You know, there is discussion right now about how we could accomplish tuition assistance in some way, shape, or form for these young people. I just want to clarify something. You know, when we started this legislative term, one of the issues that we were asked to do, to not block, was the DREAM Act from coming to the floor. And, you know, some of the advocates have been very aggressive. Some of my former colleagues in the Senate Democratic Conference have really used this as a Democratic talking point, or I should say their conference's talking point. And they consistently said, bring the bill to the floor, bring the bill to the floor, bring the bill to the floor. Our concern always was that the votes were not there to pass the bill. In fact, the night we passed the Senate budget resolution, which was the Thursday night before we brought the bill to the floor, we were prepared to bring it that night. But unfortunately, some of the Senate Democrats had gone home. They didn't stick around to vote on the budget resolution. James Sanders had gone home, Velmanette Montgomery, Bill Perkins, Joe Addabbo, and John Sampson. So we were asked by the Senate sponsor of the bill, Senator Peralta, not to bring the bill that night because it would fail because their members weren't there. We agreed to not bring the bill, but we told them the bill's going to come Monday or Tuesday. Make sure your members are here. We then still did not believe that there were sufficient votes to pass this bill. They felt otherwise. They you know, and some of the advocates insisted that there were members of the Senate Republican Conference
who would vote yes.
Who would vote
and
yes
none of
if
them
the bill just
did.
Came to the floor.
None of them did. So you're you're saying Senator Klein brought the bill to the floor as a favor to the advocates, not as a favor to the Republicans fail.
Senator Klein really believes in this issue. If you watch the transcript, Brian, he gave one of the most passionate arguments in favor of it. He really believes in this. He believes we need to do something to help these young people.
But as a group, have your independent Democrats serve the Democratic majority in the state? Because, as you know, there have been calls for the Democratic Party to refuse to let you run on its line, the four of you and now the five of you, I guess, including Tony Avella from Queens. You have the backing of your county organization, I understand.
And so does Senator Klein, and so does Senator Valesky, and so does Senator Carlucci, and I'm going to assume so does Senator Avella.
Why, from a Democrat's perspective, should you be given the imprimatur of the party?
Well, let me just say this, Brian. I find it very interesting that those very same people who would criticize our desire to actually set aside the bitter partisan politics that gripped the state capitol for a long time, to actually accomplish things like getting the minimum wage done, like we're on the verge of getting paid family leave done, like getting, you know, tuition tax credits done, like getting, what else did we do? We did minimum wage. We found a way to provide veterans credits so that we could hire more veterans. There's a whole host of things that we did. That doesn't count, though. See,
but
let me finish now, because you brought this up.
Go ahead.
Okay. Those very same people who are critical of that stood by and never said a word when some of our former colleagues were not only, you know, stealing money with two hands, that were not only assaulting women in their family, that was okay. See, that their idea of what is a good Democrat is a very different idea than what I think is a good Democrat. Good Democrats stand up for issues that matter to the Democratic Party. Sometimes, Brian, that means negotiating with people on the other side of the aisle.
So what did you give to the Republicans to get those liberal agenda items you just ticked off?
We didn't give them anything. You find a way to negotiate with people and get them to agree on what they're willing to accept. And that seems to be a lost art in politics. That's why we have a Congress right now that can't get anything accomplished.
But negotiations mean you give something to get something. What did you give?
You have to be willing to listen to both sides. You know, so I'm not sure what people think we got or what they think they're getting. What you have is a Senate that operates on a daily basis, that takes up bills, and bills sometimes fail because you don't have support for them. And when you have a bill that comes to the floor and it fails, when you're the sponsor of that bill, you have to take a look at yourself and say, what could I have done to convince one of my other colleagues? You can't just introduce a bill and then walk away from it and expect other people to do your heavy lift. That's not how it works. I use my own legislation now on medical marijuana. When I started this process, I did not have a single Republican. I now have more than 9 Republicans who are voting for this bill. How did I do that? I sat down and I talked to them. You know, I got them information. I didn't treat them as if they were my enemy. Campaigns come and go fast enough in this business. Sometimes you got to set aside the politics, work on the policy, and then we can go back to fighting over, you know, who should have control of the Senate.
We get to end on a lighter note. You represent Staten Island.
Yes, I do.
I have to ask you about the clown. There's a clown running around Staten Island, becoming a thing on social media, including, I gather, your Twitter feed.
I don't have Twitter.
Oh, you don't have Twitter?
No,
I heard
dangerous.
You were
it's
doing
bad.
Something about it.
I have Facebook. I don't tweet, though. It's bad. It's bad.
What's the deal with the clown?
We don't know. We're assuming it's probably some sort of a, you know, a production company or, you know, an entertainment company promotional stunt, but I don't know.
Just better,
I haven't seen it yet, though.
Just better not perform for money on the subway or Bratton will have him arrested.
Mm-hmm.
All right. State Senator Diane Savino, Democrat from the North Shore of Staten Island and part of Brooklyn. We are looking for a budget by what time, what day? What's your best guess?
It'll be here. It'll be on time.
By Monday.
Monday at midnight.
Thanks for joining us.
All right. Bye.